thank you for joining me for a special edition of Total Packers. From the Packers legend crew, from the parties to the excursions, we love hanging out with our most passionate fans. And you know what else, though? I love reliving the great moments in Packer history with past and present players. Join me in a trio of great linebackers, Blake Martinez, George Koontz, and Dave Robinson, as we discuss love, life, and a whole lot of football. Well, Dave Robinson, how you doing? Congratulations on being in the Hall of Fame, of course.
Thank you very much.
But we got to go way back, because a lot of people don't know your journey. But before we get started, we just talked about something off air. You still have a flip phone?
Yes. Contrary to popular belief, I did not get my phone from the Smithsonian Institute. I bought a brand new. And so I have a flip phone. It's what I want. It's a phone. I make calls, receive calls. See, I believe that a smartphone, the smartest thing about a smartphone is the guy that sold it to you. He was smart. and he can sell you a phone for more money than it costs to get a phone, a tablet, and a computer. And I got all three, and I don't need a smartphone.
Now, take me back now. First round pick. You feel like you went where you were supposed to go in the draft? Or back then, it was just wherever I go, I'm good, I'm fine with it.
Well, you understand, in 1963, it was unpopular to draft a black athlete in the first round. They usually waited to the third round and draft any black guys. Mm-hmm. And Vince Lombardi, who broke the mold in a lot of ways, he drafted Herb Adley in the first round in 1961, and he drafted me in the first round in 1963. And the story is that he was called in on the carpet, and people said, well, Vinny, we're not telling you what to do. We think you're wasting draft choices by taking black guys in the first round. And Vince reportedly said, listen, in Green Bay, we don't draft by color. We draft by tackling and blocking. Only two colors we got in Green Bay are green and gold. He said, you guys run the finances, I'll run the team. That was it.
This is a habit.
It's become a semi-habit, Vinny. Congratulations for the second year in a row.
Let's talk championship. Yeah. 65, 66, and 67. Right. You guys had to feel like y'all gonna win every year. I mean, this was an unbelievable team.
We kept our coaches and kept the coach there. But Vince, no team ever won in 3 years in a row except the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. That was 29, 30, and 31 when it wasn't the playoff system.
Right.
The playoff system was instilled to make sure nobody won it 3 years in a row.
Oh, I got you.
And so Vince wanted to be the first one to win 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he won 65, 6, and 7, and then he retired. Yeah. That's the trouble with setting your goals too low. Yeah. If he'd set his goals at 5, he'd stayed and kept going. We could have won a couple more, I'm sure of it.
George Koontz, probably one of the smartest guys on the defense. Because I know one of the... Now, Blake, did you have the communication thing? We didn't have that. Yeah. So when Fritz Schirmer was our defensive coordinator, he basically sent in signals, and you would have to relay that to the players.
Right.
But talk about your first years in Green Bay. You know, you're amongst all these, you know, first-round draft picks, right, all these great guys, and you were able to leapfrog a lot of those guys to play.
Well, it was very, very difficult, and one of the saddest days of my professional career is when I called home and told my dad that I signed a contract with the Green Bay Packers. And he said, what number did they give you? Uh-oh. I said, well, they gave me number 64. He said, you're not going to make the team. that's not a linebacker's number, because at that time, Blake, linebackers was 50s or 90s.
Yes.
They gave me a number 64, which is the great Jerry Kramer. Yep. My dad said, well, you're not going to make the team.
That's a
bad sign.
You're like, oh, no.
But I was able to have a pretty good preseason. I led the team in tackles that preseason. I made the team, and they gave me the number 53. And after my sixth game in my rookie year, they put me in the starting lineup. I started 10 games, and I ended up starting over 100 games for the Green Bay Packers. It was just a blessing for a young man coming from a single-parent household, a socially, economically deprived area in eastern North Carolina, had a chance to to live out the American dream and playing football, and it was great. And the fans was very, very receptive of me. They started giving me the chant, Coons, and all that. So it was great. And that all culminated in us winning Super Bowl 31. We wasn't able to do like our big brothers, like they was able to win back-to-back. We fell short the second year in Super Bowl 32.
But it wasn't our fault.
No. It wasn't the defense's fault. But,
I'm curious to know what your father said when he got 53. When he was 53, what did he say then?
That's my boy.
That's my boy.
Now
you're giving my son again.
That's my son.
That's my son.
That's validation.
Yeah. That's my. He was around town telling everyone my son's going to make it. He's a hell of a player.
With the 131st pick of the 2016 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Blake Martinez, linebacker, Stanford.
Blake Martinez.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen rookies come in, fourth round pick, come into the Packers. Now, was it another team that you thought you were going to go to? Because it seemed like the team that works you out never drafts you.
Nah, yeah. That never happens. I mean, the funniest part is I didn't talk to the Packers at all.
Really?
Like, I didn't really hear anything. I did a questionnaire, which I thought was just because one of my teammates at Stanford, Ricky Seal, his dad is one of the scouts.
Okay.
So I went and did one of like a questionnaire. I thought he was just being nice to me. So I was like, all right, I'm going to fill this out. Here you go.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, I get the call, and obviously it was life-changing.
Your rookie year, you play a lot, you play special teams, but what happened, though, Blake, from going from a rookie to the best in the league? You tied for the most tackles.
Yep.
That's a big step.
No, yeah, I mean, going into my rookie year, I think I got too focused, like, too much in like the limelight of like, oh, I want to be Luke Keith. I want to be Ray Lewis. I want
to
be these next greats that are in front of me. And I want to be those guys. And I wasn't myself. And I think throughout my rookie season, I had flashes of how I wanted to be. And then there was moments where I was like, what am I doing? Why am I not making the plays that I know I can make?
Right.
And so going into this offseason, I went back to Arizona and trained with my trainer. And he gave me a great quote. He was just like, Blake, when you go into the season, you're never going to be surprised because, like, everyone's going to ask you, like, oh, what'd you do? What'd you do this? Like, you're never going to be surprised because you put the work in every single day to get there. And at that point, adding that and then my mindset of just allowing myself to be Blake Martinez allowed me to just skyrocket because it allowed me to just play with instincts, play with just fundamental technique, just a technician out there.
Yeah.
And at that point, the game started slowing down, everything started to make sense, and I stopped worrying about being perfect. I just worried about
just relax and play.
Playing the play.
What a tackle! Like a bullet, Blake Martinez!
Man, that was big time.
Playing the Cowboys, and they used to run a lead with Emmitt Smith and Moose Johnson. So the first time they ran that lead play, I went up under Moose Johnson, I tackled Emmitt. So the next, they ran it again. I said, Coons, you take this one. So they got, he was one of the better fullbacks.
At the time.
He come leading up in there, and he didn't see a 36, he saw a 53. And Coons met him head on. Bam!
Yeah.
That was one of the loudest I've ever heard a hit.
Right.
And when I looked, I saw Moose on one knee. I mean, talk about playing the Cowboys, because the people thought about if you can get over that hump, you can get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So we had to get past the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. We put our, you know, we paid our dues because the Cowboys at the time, I think they won probably three Super Bowls in over a four-year period.
Yes.
And they were really, really tough. And because of the rivalry that the Dave Robinsons and the Vince Lombardi started back in the 60s.
Right.
There, you know, there was a little rub between the two franchises. The Cowboys was a tough, tough team, but the Green Bay Packers was tough. You look over a seven-year period when Coach Holmgren was with the Packers, our defense ranked number six in the National Football League across the board. So we had some really good players. We had Reggie White, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and we had one more guy that I think is going to go in within the next 5 years, and Leroy. I'm not saying that because our lockers was next to each other and because we were teammates. I think the numbers and the statistics speak for itself. And once you do get that call to go to Canton, Ohio, my whole family and my wife, Gina, we want to make that trek out to Canton and celebrate with you. You're more than deserving.
I'll give you $20 later for saying that. And that's what I want to go into next, because they had a rumor. It was too many of you guys in the Hall of Fame. That's why you had to wait over 37, 38 years. Yeah, what was that phone call like?
Well, it was a little different. Yeah. I was on the Board of Directors of Hall of Fame, and some people told me being on the board was deterring my chances to get into the Hall of Fame. Because they didn't want to put a board member in there.
Really?
Yeah, people thought it was a conflict of interest, which it isn't, of course, because the board doesn't vote.
Remind me to never get on the board of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what happened, but then, yeah. But I never believed it. But then I resigned from the board in 2012.
Okay.
And got elected in 2013. If I thought it was the board, I would have resigned from the board in 1990. When you dominate an era like we did, and like the Steelers have done and the Patriots, you're going to get a lot of players in the Hall of Fame. You can't win year after year unless you have a lot of good players.
The last thing I really want to touch on for you, you beat something that a lot of people watching are going to take inspiration. I remember seeing you for one of the first times. Mm-hmm. We was in central Wisconsin, and you showed me your scar.
Oh, yeah.
You pulled you up, and a lot of us, we see everybody. We don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
But you were really sick at that time.
Yeah.
But you look fantastic now. Tell me about that journey.
No. But what happened was that Vince Lombardi died for one reason. Mm-hmm. He refused to get a colonoscopy. Now, in defense of him, when he went back in the 60s, they put a rigid rod up to check it out.
Yeah.
And said not the flexible. And so he did not want to have that done.
Right.
So he didn't. He held off to the very last minute. When he finally got it, his colon cancer had spread to his body so much, they opened him up, spread to all of his organs, and he died. Colon cancer is very curable if detected early.
Yes.
Because of that, all of the body people, we all know that early detection is the key.
Yes.
And I know at least five of my teammates have gone in and had it done, found they had colon cancer, and had the operation and survived. And I'm one of them. They cut it out. I came out of the hospital with no chemo, no radiation.
Oh, fantastic.
It was so early.
Wow.
But I thank Vince Lombardi every day for it, because if he hadn't been that way, I think it's like he reached back to the grave and said, I'm going to take care of my boys. And all of us are getting tested. And I say anybody that's not tested, male or female, get tested on a regular basis.
Welcome back to Total Packers with Blake Martinez, George Koontz, and Dave Robinson.
Moon with a little lofting pass.
Oh, George intercepted Koontz. By George Koontz at the 40, the 50, the 45. George down the sideline. Did he step out of bounds? No. It will be a touchdown on the grab by George Koontz on the interception.
Which is the best? A strip sack, pick it up, and score. For a pick six, for a linebacker.
I take the pick six. I was fortunate
to pick six
in 1996 when we made that run for the Super Bowl in Minnesota. I was able to pick off Warren Moon, take it back 75 yards. So that was one of my, from a personal, individual statistic, that was the apex.
For you, Dave?
Well, I had the longest interception in Baltimore Colt history, 87 yards. That was a big thrill for me. But I think the biggest thrill of my life was going up against my first time as a rookie, going one-on-one with Jim Brown. When I saw him coming, my heart jumped in my throat to make that tackle. It was a big for me as a rookie. That was the biggest thing ever, because I wasn't sure I was going to make the team even though I was a first-round draft pick. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to save this film clip. and sent it to every team in the league.
So then you can pick up no matter what. Somebody's
going to pick you up. Yeah.
Your best game, you had quite a few. What was your best game last year? Because you're supposed to know this kind of stuff right off. We have it, but I didn't want to get it.
I'll probably say the Saints game, just in the fact of what happened beforehand. I actually got stepped on my foot, and I couldn't wear cleats at all. Like, I couldn't put it on. Literally, it felt like a knife was in my foot. Mm-hmm. And so I had to numb up my foot before the game and basically played that game, and I ended up, I think, like 16 tackles.
I just remember a couple of your games and make the play and your celebration. And that would be a good way to close this. All three of you guys got a way of celebrating when you make a big play. Now, where does that come from? Just adrenaline? You're just excited?
Yeah, a lot of people, I actually get messed with about this a lot. It's just like the fact that I don't have like an actual celebration thing. It's just pure like just passion. Right? Yeah, and I just do something. And sometimes it ends up looking cool, sometimes it doesn't. And like most of the time, if it doesn't, you get messed with. If it ends up looking cool, like, kind of like whatever.
Right.
But yeah, so I'd say just passion.
Yeah, okay. And for me, it started out when I was in Pop Warner, Little League football. Whenever I made a tackle, I would run out of there real quick to show my mom that your son made a play. And it kind of stuck, and I did it in high school, college, and did it in Green Bay. Then you guys start saying, get out of there, coon.
Get out of there, coon.
Yeah, so that was my little celebration.
Now, Dave, y'all couldn't do like celebrate. You get fined
or
something.
We could do it, but Vince Lombardi wouldn't allow it.
He's
real firm, disciplinary, and he didn't want all that stuff. Yeah, he said, you know, he make a tackle. I tell you, the one thing that Vince Lombardi would go crazy about is this yards after contact. He told us that the most yards after contact any player should make is two. If he's 6 foot tall, when he falls down, nobody made any yards after contact.
Right.
And if somebody made yards after contact in two consecutive runs, you would be on the sideline with Vince watching the game.
He was that hard.
He was hard nosed. He pull you.
Y'all do two-a-days and practice, or was it three-a-days?
No, two.
It was two-a-days.
Every afternoon.
And pads.
Every afternoon was live,
Live? Wow.
Live scrimmage.
Y'all don't do live.
No.
We didn't even know.
And every Saturday was a big scrimmage, you know, one-on-one. Every Saturday we had big
ones
scrimmages.
Ones against
ones? One against one.
Yeah, because I've got to imagine when we see Blake, you know, and some, you know, the Packers now, you only got 20 practices and you've been shorts. And Koontz, I remember when we were practicing, the afternoon practice was in what we call shells.
That's right.
When I saw the guys in the 70s, they like Gary Ellison. Mm-hmm. He said, man, what are you guys practicing in? I'm like, hey, we want to stay fresh for the game. The game has changed. The last thing I really want you to focus on, when Aaron Rodgers goes down, how did the framework of the team change?
I think that was it was definitely a tough point in our season. Obviously, Aaron's one of the greatest of all time. To lose any quarterback on any team, it's detrimental. But I think our team did really well in the standpoint of coming together at that point. Because at that point in time, a lot of people were like, oh, you don't have Aaron Rodgers. You don't have a chance. You don't have anything. But at the end of the day, there's 31 other teams that don't have Aaron Rodgers.
True.
So at that point, what excuse do you want to give? Do you want to give an excuse, or do you want to go out there and show people that you can achieve things that no one else could even fathom that you guys could achieve now? And at that point, we went off of that and grew as a unit, saying we're all NFL players. We all got drafted here to win. We didn't get drafted here to ride on Aaron Rodgers' coattails.
Absolutely.
And at that point, we wanted to show the league that no matter if we have Aaron Rodgers or not, we can go and win a football game.
Right.
And to go out there and win and do what we did. And obviously, it didn't end as well as we wanted it to, but I think overall as a unit, not having Aaron Rodgers is going to make us grow that much more in the seasons to come.
You know, Blake was talking about you with Aaron Rodgers, and I want to talk about the two quarterbacks y'all played with, or, you know, for the most part. Of course, you played with
Brett Favre. For 8 years.
You got any Brett Favre stories you could tell that we don't have to edit out?
Well, Brett,
He was a dangerous guy, though.
Yeah, he was.
Played a lot of jokes and stuff.
He played a lot of jokes. He had a lot of humor. He was a great teammate inside the locker room. And it was phenomenal to be able to be a teammate with him, because we knew each and every day at practice he was going to show up and give you his best. And he was very, very entertaining. And he was down to earth and humble. So it was a blessing to be able to play with a three-time MVP in a row. Mm-hmm. You know, that was in the middle of our peak.
Yeah, that's right. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, now to the tip of the sword, Bart Starr. I mean, wow.
Well, I'll tell you what,
that was huge.
I think a quarterback is measured by one thing, his W's. How many championships he win?
Right.
And there was a great quarterbacks, and one of the best, is, of course, was Bart Starr. He won 5 world championships in 7 years. And the thing about it was, he wasn't just a quarterback in today's terms. He didn't have the earphone. Bart Starr had to look out there, look at the situation, the down, the situation, position on the field, and the personnel.
Yeah.
And then he had to go through the playbook and call the right plays. And the boy Dow, who played every play, said he can only remember Bart Starr taking 5 plays at the most in 9 years from the sidelines. He called all that himself.
Wow.
So that's a quarterback. I'm not saying anything's wrong with the quarterback today. Aaron,
a lot of people didn't know that. That's amazing.
These guys do.
I didn't know it either.
And the quarterbacks, when I played with Gizzy and Johnny Unitas, those guys had to call everything on the court, on the field. Mm-hmm. And they did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the only thing I can say negative about Bart Starr was that he once brought his wife a beaver coat, and then every wife wanted a beaver coat.
All went downhill.
I told my wife, I said, get your trap and go up and trap a beaver. Mm-hmm. I can't buy a coat.
Think about it for a second. Bart Starr, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers. We've been so blessed in Green Bay. I hope you enjoy the show. See you next time.